Welcome everybody to The Sun on the Strip. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. Back as always every Wednesday to get you caught up on everything that's going on in entertainment from the world famous Las Vegas Strip. What is new this week? Not a lot. We survived a 4th of July weekend and some major resorts and hotels reopened last week, including Aria, Mandalay Bay, the Waldorf Astoria, and the Nobu Hotel inside Caesar's Palace. And right now, there are no more major resorts with opening dates. Oyo Las Vegas, which is on Tropicana, just east of the Strip, formerly the Hooters Casino and Hotel, is currently scheduled to reopen on August 5th. And there have been reports that the Tropicana, just next door, is planning to open on September 1st. A little bit of entertainment news. A couple of resident shows performed in different temporary homes over the weekend. Tenors of Rock, which had been playing most recently at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, did a handful of shows downtown in Neonopolis at the still pretty new Notoriety venue. And Sexy, the topless female review that's been going for years now at the Westgate Cabaret, played a few outdoor drive-in shows at the makeshift Dreamland Drive-In at the offices of Freshwater Studios, which is a major event production company. I wrote about that last week, and you can revisit that story at LasVegasSun.com. Also, over 4th of July weekend, Resorts World unveiled its 100,000 square foot LED screen located on the West Hotel Tower. A pretty flashy display. So there's more than 3,500 individual LED panels on the side of the hotel tower facing the Strip. It's about 294 feet high and 340 feet wide. And they gave it a bit of a test run with some digital fireworks and other images. This is just the first of several LED displays planned for Resorts World, which is scheduled to open next summer, 2021. They're also going to have a 19,000 square foot screen on the East Tower, as well as a 10,000 square foot marquee sign and a 50-foot diameter video globe. Lots of exciting stuff happening at Resorts World. We can't wait to get a look at that thing next year. It's been a long time coming, and it's really exciting to have a new ground-up property from a new operator coming soon to the Strip. So I've written a lot about and talked a lot about Mayfair Supper Club at Bellagio as a very innovative entertainment and dining experience. And it is that, and it is fantastic, and it's open at the Bellagio right now. But it was really Rose Rabbit Lie at the Cosmopolitan that kicked off this trend, if that's what we're calling it, of kind of modern takes on a classic Vegas supper club experience. Rose Rabbit Lie opened at the Cosmo, I think, more than 6 years ago now. And my interview today is with one of the fantastic performers at that venue, Sky D. Miles. First came to Las Vegas to perform in Menopause the Musical. She has also starred in shows of her own at the Tropicana and at Planet Hollywood, as well as the former 1923 Bourbon and Burlesque show and venue at Mandalay Bay. Incredible voice, incredible style. You see her once, you'll never forget it. Sky is super happy to be back on stage at Rose Rabbit Lie and told me all about it.
What was it like to get back on stage at Rose Rabbit Lie after so much time away?
Oh, coming back to work after being off for 3 months. Being off with the quarantine and the pandemic, it was kind of strange because we had to be creative with singing through masks and new social distancing, because normally at Rose Rabbit Live, we're really out in the audience more than we are on stage. So It was a very brand new feeling, kind of out of body. you know, because in performance for myself, it's more than just singing. So I was trying to figure out a way to be able to still connect with people who are clearly coming out with reservations. You know, even though they're out, everybody's still a little, you know, a little afraid of what's going on in the world. So it was strange, but it was good because it felt good to be back singing.
A performer like you, you're used to adjusting to different circumstances and changing what you do depending on the audience and stuff like that. But I'm sure that this is a whole different level of that kind of
thing. It was a different challenge. Yeah, it was a different challenge because you're dealing with, you know, mandates, you're dealing with, you know, rules, and you're dealing with emotions, you're dealing with trying to stay well. So it wasn't just like, oh, we got to change the song last minute. It was just a lot of things that had to be done and be done quickly. And, but the adrenaline and the excitement, you know, it all worked out. You know, it was, you know, we all like to be challenged, especially in performing, but this was a little bit different. But we're excited to be back. I'm excited to be back. And now I sing in a full mask. I have a whole full mask that I sing in now. So out of something I didn't want to do, you know, you find a whole new routine. So end up working out in the end.
You know, it's such a unique venue and such a unique experience for everyone that's in there. Is that a big draw for you as a performer, that different and intimate style of entertainment at Rose Rabbit Live?
I think it's special for me because I think that we, you know, look, I'm a performer. Of course, I want to be, you know, famous and sing at, you know, these very large venues and, you know, Carnegie Hall and Kennedy Center. We want all those. Those are goals. But there is a special thing about being able to connect with people as a performer, as a singer, as actress, or, you know, whatever titles we may be. But the, you know, starting off singing in church where things were small and very intimate, I'm able to connect with people better. I think when people come to Vegas, they want to have an experience. And that's the one thing that I believe Rose Rabbit Live has really brought to the Strip. You know, they are the original modern club, the first. You know, I think there are a few more that may be opening, but we are the original one. And the intimacy is what I think people really love because they can or they could at one point. You know, you can come in touch, you can hug, you can sit and talk to the guests a little bit. And everybody doesn't come to Vegas just to party. They actually want to have an experience. They want to be remembered. They want you to say their name. They want you to wish them happy birthday. They want you to dance with them. They want you to dedicate a special song. So I think that's the special thing about Rose Rabbit Live. And even though we're not able to necessarily walk around as much as we were, you know, a few months ago, there's still a way of connection, you know, and how we deliver our songs, what songs we choose, or just taking a few minutes to give them a fist bump if we can, or take a picture. So that's what makes, you know, that's the thing that I love. One of the things I love the most about Rose Rabbit Live is the intimacy. You can have 5,000 people and they not have a good time, and you can have 50 people and you can have the best audience ever. I've experienced them both. So it's not in numbers, it's about in performance and emotion and experience.
Now, you've been playing in different kinds of shows in Las Vegas for a number of years now, and I know that you've previously you sang in some of the most recognizable musical theater productions in Vegas and outside of Vegas, like Beach Blanket Babylon and Menopause the Musical. That was your first kind of breakthrough in Vegas, right?
Right. I left the Bay Area. I did Beach Blanket Babylon for almost 10 years. And I was just felt like I had done all I could do in San Francisco. And I was going to move to New York. And life happened. And I ended up coming to Las Vegas. And I auditioned for Menopause the Musical, which I didn't know what that meant then. And I was actually, you know, too young really to be in the show, but they were like, can you play an older woman? I'm like, yeah, I can play, you know, I'll put this gray wig on, you know. And I got the part, and I was in that show for about 5 years touring and in Las Vegas. So So it's the show that really brought me to Las Vegas, I guess you could say. And it was a really good experience. And then from there, I went to Tropana when I was part of like a sub in a band, like the understudy in a band. And then I had my own band after that.
Right.
But Beach Ticket Babylon was, you know, they just ended like almost 50 years. Like their last show was New Year's Eve. So I think that probably credit to like some of my costume choices sometimes is just my time at Beach Ticket Babylon with the crazy hair and hats and costumes.
So you think you kind of took some things from your past show experience to create the performance that you're known for now?
Yeah, everything that I've done through life, like from singing that trick at 8 years old to high school, being in high school shows that didn't really have a part for me and they would have to create a part or create a role, or they just put me in to sing a song. Like everything I've ever done up to now is a part of like my show, from my big personality to costume choices to song choices. And of course, if you're in the show for 8 years, that's about costuming and colorful characters. Of course, you're going to take some of that. So I definitely would, you know, give my respect to Beach Ticket Babylon, which is really my first professional show. You know, I didn't hardly know my voice then. I didn't know what I was good at or what I wasn't good at. And I really learned at that show, which prepared me for Las Vegas, I believe.
You've also gotten the chance to sort of create your own shows in different venues here in town, like you mentioned at the Trap and at Planet Hollywood. What's it like for you to kind of put your producer hat on and create something versus playing a role in someone else's creation?
It's my favorite thing. It's what I, my goal, you know, when I moved to Las Vegas, I didn't know much about Las Vegas. And as I learned the, you know, history, like I knew who Lola Falana was, but I didn't know really the history of Lola Falana, who was like considered the queen of Las Vegas, like in the 70s. And she's a black lady and she had her own show. And I knew once I read her story, I was like, I want to have my own show one day in Las Vegas. And that's still my goal, to have my own show. And through the years, I've been able to put some different shows together. And I love that part of it. I love every part of being able to be myself and add different elements of what I want to say in a show, you know, whether it's something about producing and being able to decide, I want to wear this color and I want to be able to say this here and I'm going to pick these 20 songs to tell my story, whatever the story may be, and then I want dancers here and I want 10 musicians and not three. You know, some people like just going into the show and being other people. I've fought most of my life just trying to be myself. And when I was able to get the opportunity, when I'm able to have the opportunity, I want to be able to express whoever myself is at that time to the best of my ability. And I like doing other shows, and I like being other characters, but I love being Sky or Black Sunshine or whatever the other skitty names people can think of they might call me. So I love that part. You know, it's my goal to produce my own show and have my own show in Las Vegas. And even at Rose Rabbit Live, I'm able to do, like, a lot of characters that I've created along the way. You know, I created a lot of things when I was at Tropicana, and I'm able to bring some of those to Rose Rabbit Live. Sometimes I'm not able to do things just because of logistically of, like, placement or not necessarily audience, but just because it doesn't fit in that particular venue, you know. But my first show I ever did produce was called Simply Diva, Simply Sky, and I did that Suncoast, I think. And I had really no money, and I put this show together with bargaining with people. You know, if you give me, like, three dresses, I'll, you know, give you a ticket to Menopause the Musical, you know. So I was just hustling and bargaining, and it was a great show, and a lot of people, you know, but I had just moved here, and I didn't really know people, and a lot of people were saying, oh, you're ahead of your time, and no one really knows you, and, you know, that kind of, like, I guess I was a little offended, because I didn't really know the business in that sense, that I had to be known to tell a story or to do a show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was my first show, Simply Diva, Simply Sky, and then I did Midnight Sky at the Planet Hollywood, and then I created the Boom Boom Room, which is my show that I'm is my ultimate show is the Boom Boom Room, which I pretty much created that at the Tropicana. And that's when, you know, they let me bring in a couple of dancers and a couple more musicians, and it was kind of a tribute to the blues. And it just kind of morphed into this show that people would come back and want to see, you know, and I would do a little burlesque in it. So I love producing. I love producing. I love styling the show. I love deciding what I want my life to be. That's my ultimate, you know, when I'm not able to sing anymore, it's still something that I'll be able to do. I'm going to sing as long as I can, as long as I'm not cracking too many notes. And then, I don't mind not having to sing if I'm producing a show. I don't mind, you know, I love it. I love every bit of it. We don't see a lot of women producing their own show. We don't have very many women on the strip at all, you know. Mm-hmm. And as performers, lead performers, let alone as producing shows. And all my shows were successful. I mean, sometimes I think I failed because, you know, they didn't become like regular shows. But when I look in the, when you look back on it, you think, oh, wow, I did do that. You know, when you, sometimes my mom has to remind me all the things that I have done. So I don't get on, you know, hard on myself and say, I failed. I still don't have my own show, you know. But I did do those shows, and they were received well, you know, but it takes money. It takes investors. I just don't have those things yet, but soon. And I want to go, you know, back to what you were talking about, the intimacy. I think the great part about performing in a place like Rose Rabbi is small. It's intimate. Where we're going in the future right now, at least for the next 6 months, we're not going to have big venues. So I'm not bothered by having smaller audiences, you know. And I think that I've always been prepared for that, you know, for smaller and more personable, you know. So it's not like uncomfortable to be like, oh, there's only like 100 people here. You know, some people can't perform in front of small audiences. To me, it's like whether it's 5 or there's 50 or 500, I'm going to give you a show. I believe moving forward, there's going to be a higher expectation of talent and performance. And I think they will go back to the lounges. I think they will go to these supper clubs or these intimate venues. But I think the expectation of performance and talent will go back to a higher standard. I believe if there was a standard of entertainment that was not really a good representation of Las Vegas that had been happening, you know, but I believe sometimes in the shift, you know, we're kind of like in a paradigm shift, you know, of the world. You know, where's entertainment going to go? For Las Vegas, I think the smaller venues, I mean, is going to be the new thing, the new hang, the new happening. But it's not really new. It's just going to be renewed and revived. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we're not all going to be Lady Gaga. You know, we're not going to all be Beyonce. You know, but there was a time when Danny Gans, may he rest in peace, and people like Clint Holmes and all these people, they had their own shows, you know, and people went to go see them, and they had a name, and they had a respect. And I think regardless of what your venue is, you have to give people the ultimate of yourself. And that's why I have learned early on that it doesn't matter what venue I'm at. And I love Bette Midler. I call myself the Black Bette Midler. I think I'm the Black Bette Midler. So I used to say, So when I had times in my life when I felt like, I'm never going to get on the stage, I'm never going to have a big stage, I always remember that she was performing in a bathhouse. And she was becoming, honing her craft in a bathhouse with Barry Manilow playing for her. She didn't wait till the big stage came to her. She created her stage wherever she was, and that's the type of performer that I have chosen to be, that wherever my stage is, I'm going to perform. If we have to wear masks, I hate it. I don't like it. Let's figure it out. Okay, I'm going to do it this way.
It's really exciting to have Rose Rabbi open again, and great for you to be back on that stage again. And I know you're excited about it too. What else do you want to say to people who are planning to come see you, or maybe thinking about coming to see you at the Cosmopolitan?
Well, I just tell them to find them a pretty mask. Come on down, make their reservation, come out to hear some great music, to see some great performances, to come out and live life. And music is one thing that can make you feel better if it's only for 2 hours. To come back out and Rose Rabbi, they've been doing this for six years. It'll be my 6th year on July 16th, which is my birthday too. I got hired on my birthday. I was unemployed and I got a call on July 16th. So I've been there 6 years. So I always tell people to come down, you're not taking a risk. Just be safe, be cautious, and come and have fun and let music heal you. We got a lot going on in this world right now, and you need that. The most beautiful thing about entertainment is it's there to heal. It's there to let you escape if it's for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. And Rose Avalai is open, and we're open to serve you great food, great cocktails, and great music and entertainment.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for listening. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcast, and you can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to our friends at The Cosmopolitan, and especially to Sky D Miles. You can see her most nights at Rose Rabbit Lie and follow along with her at skymiles.com. Hope you come back next week for another edition of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you.